Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Okay, turn to John chapter 3. Okay, John, I'm nearly there. John chapter 3. It's interesting, God is really moving amongst us, and there's a real fresh move of the Spirit as we focus on Jesus and as we really come back to what he says life should be like. And in John chapter 3, Jesus speaks about his people. And it's in this kind of discourse with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus has these questions. You know, how can anybody enter heaven? How can anybody be born again? And Jesus is speaking about the new birth that happens when you and I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. The biggest miracle that could ever take place happens. And God removes the old nature. He removes the sin. And he puts his nature, his spirit, in us. And this is what Jesus said, verse 5. Jesus answered and said, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is of everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Jesus defines people who are believers or who are born again in this sentence. He said that they're the kind of people who you don't know really what they're going to do next. Hence, what happened this morning. There's an unpredictability about the people born of the Spirit. Like the wind, you can't really tell where it's come from, where it's going, but you can experience the effect. And Jesus was actually saying, when you're born again, life should never be predictable. It shouldn't be the Groundhog Day thing, where you get up, go through the day, go to bed and sleep and get up, and it's just the same every day. Now, we're not talking about being unpredictable so that we're silly, that we're making things up. But that is not the unpredictability that produces the work of God. But we're talking about the Spirit-led life, or the Spirit-inspired life, to bring us into really the activity and work of Jesus in the earth. If you and I are called to do, and which we are because we have a new heart and new spirit, we're called to do the same things that Jesus did. Not one miracle was the same. I mean, he did heal many blind people, but the way he healed them was often very different. And even Jesus was unpredictable in the way he healed people. There wasn't just the same method used for every individual. So that's what made being with Jesus exciting. Because it was never the same day when you were living with him. And I mean, these 12 blokes, and I mean, they really were raw material. And, you know, I can't imagine them easily being fleeced by something super spiritual. Jesus was very real. But his reality wasn't in the seen. It was in the unseen. Because he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So he was basically saying, I'm doing what I'm seeing, but I live by faith, which is far more exciting than living by works. doing what you normally do. In Matthew chapter 15, let's look there. I promise you it's going to be a short word. I'm timing myself. I've got a party to go to. No, it's all right. As long as it takes. The will of God first, and then party. Matthew 15, 21. Actually, the party isn't till this evening, so we've got all. Some of you. Verse 21, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Now, we can read it all, but that's not really my point. But Jesus answered, actually, not a word initially. He said nothing. Disciples said, send her away. And she kept going and asking for this miracle. And Jesus said, well, actually, the children have all the rights. So, you know, healing is our right. It's our inheritance. It's on the table, guys. Everything Jesus died for is on the table for all of us. But outsiders, he's saying, you know, it's not for you right now because he hadn't died and risen and it was restricted to Israel at the time when he was walking around on the earth. And this woman actually keeps going and says, no, I want the miracle. And I love that because anybody who's in that kind of tenacious faith gets results. But what for me is fascinating is that Jesus withdrew from the place he was and went outside of his normal boundaries, outside probably his comfort zone as a Jew. And, you know, being a person of the Spirit, being led to do the works of Jesus, is going to bring you out of your normal way of life. Jesus left that place and went. Now, some people say it would take a good few days to walk to Tyre and Sidon. Jesus was being led by the Father, by the Spirit, into the unseen. I'm not sure he knew every detail about where he was going, but he knew he needed to go there. And I find it absolutely joy-making that the Father would take Jesus out of his way for one Gentile outsider who had a daughter with a demon. And Jesus spent probably an entire week on the one miracle that we can read of. I find that very comforting as well, because sometimes, you know, we don't see something every day, but maybe the journey of the week, we might see one person changed for Jesus. Isn't that good? So he left, you know, and he was moved to do something that was unpredictable. I can imagine the disciples following were like, well, what are we doing now? Why don't I like going where these Gentiles are? All the Jews had an attitude, called them little dogs or dogs outside the covenant. So they were actually quite proud about who they belonged to and their covenant with God. And so they wouldn't have been the most easy company on the way. But Jesus only had in mind a miracle for somebody that his Father was leading him to. And when, if you think about the life of the Spirit, we were talking last week about us being together in one accord for an outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh. I wonder if the disciples would have said, well, we know exactly what's going to happen when the Spirit comes. Now, we know because we've got the book. The book wasn't written. Acts 2 wasn't written until after Acts 1. Well, after the event, you know, and after Acts 2, the beginning of 2, when the Spirit came, I bet they thought, well, we'll just do what we think Jesus did, you know, in our kind of experience in the past. And one thing Jesus never did was be filled with the Spirit and begin to speak in other languages that it's recorded. Isn't that interesting? And so God was even breaking their experience of Jesus in the past. And the only reason we can say it has authority behind it is because it's written in the Word of God. But they all began to speak in other tongues. And everybody around them heard them speaking in their own language. So not only did they speak in another tongue, they spoke perfectly in Greek, Spanish, Moroccan. So that everybody heard them saying the wonderful works of God. So they must have been slightly surprised on the day they were filled. It was an unpredictable thing that happened. And God is always wanting to move us beyond the predictable. If our lives and ministries and prayer life is always the same, then I could actually say it doesn't have the life and power of the Spirit in it. But we can always go back to the life and power of the Holy Spirit. And what God is speaking to us is about a move of God that is turbulent, that actually produces change. And the first thing that needs to change is us. Because if we change, then the world can get the expression that God wants to give. And what I love about the day of Pentecost is God so wants to speak to the world through us in a way they can understand. And he knows exactly how to speak to the work colleagues you're with. He knows how to communicate to this generation. We don't have to pattern Robbie Williams. We have to be filled with the Spirit, and God himself knows how to speak because he knows them. So God got their attention. He kind of shook the disciples beyond their experience, got the attention of the world. Some were amazed and perplexed. I could call that shock and awe again. And the others were mocking. They must be drunk. So there were two different crowds, but there was not any crowd there that hadn't been impacted. But the first impact happened on the believers. And we need to change first before the Lord can use us for others. We need to be open for a transformation. A move of the Spirit that will actually upset our ordinary way of doing life with Jesus. I don't believe there's one person here that isn't a devoted follower of Jesus this morning. But I do believe God wants to upset the way we do follow him. All of us, and that would include me. That's why I'm excited about this. And that's why the Lord said, I want to do things the other way around this morning. And I want to do specific things. Isn't that great? Because we are to model something here that when you go back home, you're like, hang on, I need to think outside the box. In fact, I need to think as God thinks and ask him to show me how to deal with my life and circumstances and how to reach people. Transformation happened in Acts 2. And that word, transformation, means a complete change. The one thing you have to watch when you're a pastor is to never get cynical. Because, you know, you get people say, yeah, I've believed, and yeah, I'm being filled with the Spirit, and yeah, I speak in tongues. But you see no change? There was nothing the same about the life of those Spirit-filled believers before they were filled. It was a complete transformation. Their lifestyle changed by what they were devoted to. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, breaking of bread, prayer, and fellowship. So their whole way of life changed once they were filled with the Spirit. But within that, it wasn't a rigid, this is what I do on certain days. It was a life power that transformed their fellowship into a God kind of fellowship. It transformed their prayer meetings into, my, it's amazing we can change the world. We can shake the world with us just being together and praying. It transformed their knowledge of God because when they came together, they were hungry to receive and hear about Jesus. And so it was a life change, not just a meeting application in the diary. Jesus has come to give life. Life in all its fullness, not a meeting. And he's come to transform and have a complete change of life in our lives so that we don't always do things the same way. Yes, we're here to obey the word. We don't do life outside the word. But we do life in the word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he always varies stuff. So in other words, go into your secret place and pray is one of the things that Jesus says to do. So I go into my secret place and pray, but filled with the Spirit, that daily prayer life is different every day. Because it's filled with Jesus and his Spirit, and not just a religious thing I do. Ticking a box. So Jesus was always willing to move into a different way, doing different things, and that showed really a lifestyle for us to follow. And I believe what we need more than anything is a confidence in the Holy Spirit in us. A confidence that God is with us. A confidence that the Lord is already here. And that his kingdom is here. We are none other than the gate of heaven. In this place, heaven is. Not in that place over there, but right here, right now, heaven is on the inside. And Christ lives in us. And so that means we can open a gate and there will be a flood of life. But it's not always predictable what Jesus is going to do. Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. While you're looking there, you remember what Jesus said about the wineskin? That an old wineskin wouldn't be able to contain what he wanted to do. So the old religious Jewish system of the law couldn't contain what Jesus wanted. He needed a new vessel. And you're that vessel. You're born again, a vessel for his dwelling place, for the Holy Spirit. And he said it's new wine in new wineskins. Why? Because the wineskin must be flexible for the purpose of the wine. So what's God saying about that? He's saying, I need to be flexible for the purpose of God doing what he wants through me. Not saying, I'm more important than the wine, but the wine is more important than me. I'm a dwelling place of God. And so this flexibility is what Jesus wants in our lives. I mean, all this week, since last week, we prayed for an outpouring of the Spirit. And I've heard amazing testimonies about what God is doing in the body. And Because I'm a pastor, I can't tell you a lot of my testimonies because they're confidential. I have loads of testimonies, but you're not going to get to hear them because I'm confidential. I can't tell you about many of the situations. But I have seen unusual visions when I'm talking to people, the prophetic, the release of the power of the Spirit. And it's been amazing how situations have been solved like that, just with the Lord giving the answer. I trust you've had that kind of week. In fact, if you haven't, I trust this week you're going to have that kind of week. Can't do anything about yesterday. Let's move forward and see God use us and be that wineskin that's flexible. In Colossians 2, verse 9, the Word of God tells us that in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So basically in Jesus, when Jesus came, the fullness of God was in Him. And that's why when we say we want to know the Father, we can look at Jesus and say, I can see the Father because of Jesus. I know what God's like because of Him. Then the next verse says, and you have been given fullness in Christ. No. Can we go back up? Should we read that again so you actually believe it? You know what's important when you read? It's not information, but faith. You read this with faith, okay? Because you're believing it. So, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you, we live in a body, don't we? You have been given fullness in Christ. Hang on. You mean I've got as much as Jesus? You mean you've got as much as Jesus? Oh God, Lord Jesus. What would happen if we believed it? You have been given, not will be given. The tenses are important in Scripture. You have been given fullness in Christ. Oh my Lord. That means I am lacking nothing currently. I heard an incredible testimony. And I'm telling you this because it means that any one of us in this room could do this. But it's one of those testimonies that kind of wakes you up a little bit because it's a little bit outside the box. Someone called Heidi Baker, many of you may have heard about her life and ministry in Mozambique with her husband. And it's phenomenal ministry that's going on out in Mozambique. And she said she was walking along a street in Mozambique and she could smell this awful decaying smell. And she said she's so used to being out there that you get to recognize the smell. It's the smell of death. And actually, the smell was actually the smell of a leper. And she turned aside just to find where that one was. Now, what I like about this is she's like Jesus. You see, if you don't know you've got fullness, you're going to run. If you know you've got the fullness, you'll run to the problem. So I've got what she needs, or that man needs. I think it was a bloke. So she turns and sees this guy, his whole arm is eaten up with leprosy. And you know it's highly contagious, don't you? And the Lord says, take hold of his hand and shake it. So just with a big smile on her face, she put out her hand and squeezed it, and it sunk in. That bit, I didn't like that bit of the testimony. And then the Lord said, stamp on her foot, on his foot. So she went. Because if you've got leprosy, you can't feel anything. And the guy screamed in pain and got healed. Now, that's what I call unusual. But if we believed we've been given fullness in Christ, what works would we do? Because we only do things out of believing. If we really believe that Christ, in all his fullness, which is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, lives in us, then absolutely no problem is a problem. It becomes something that we can go in and solve and see the power of God transform. In Colossians 3, it says here, verse 1, since then you have been, that's past tense, you've been given fullness in Christ, now this is another have been, not a has been. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. So, Paul says, because you've been given fullness, because you have been raised in Christ, because you died, that means the old you has no longer any life. You died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Set your hearts and minds on him and his kingdom and heavenly things. Don't live sort of bound in this physical body by living with natural life bringing you down all the time. Live with a mind that is set on the possibilities of God in the here and now. Thank you, Jesus. You see, God thinks differently, and he wants you to think differently. God thinks according to truth, and he wants you to think according to truth. What if you thought all this week, I have the fullness of God in me? How would it change your week and your actions? If that was your primary thought all week, the fullness of God lives in me, it would change your week. God thinks so differently. He says, to get, you've got to give. To live, you've got to die. To feed a multitude, you only need a bit. That's called different thinking. Oh, you're happy this morning. This is different thinking. And God says, set your mind on the possibilities of heaven in everyday life. Think differently about who you are and that Christ himself is your life. If Christ is your life, you're going to live loving him every day. Worshipping him every day. He is my life. He is my breath. He gives me every breath I've got. He is the author of my life. When I stood up this morning, I said, well, Lord, for however many years, there's no need to know. I thank you for my life. You gave me breath. You gave me life, and I will live to praise you. I will live to glorify you. With my breath, I will praise you. All these years and all the future, however many years I've got, that's it. He is my life. Set your minds on things above. You see, transformation in your world can't happen unless you think different. You might be as filled up with the Holy Spirit on a Sunday, but nothing will happen on the Monday because you're thinking naturally. Can you understand that? So if we think according to truth that we can heal the sick, and then Monday morning we think we should advise everybody to go to the doctor, what are we doing? We are actually conforming to the world and not according to the pattern of the kingdom. I believe in doctors. I believe that they're a gift. They're part of God's healing process. But I also believe we're called to heal the sick. And we're not doctors. We're healers. Everyone in this room is a healer. The possibilities for your life is that you have the ability to heal cancer. Believing it, you'll see it. Transformation happens. And as I was praying this week, you know, this really is just a message about being flexible, thinking differently, allowing God to invade your thoughts to change the way you do life. Not just the things you do. You have to be in certain places at certain times. There are things we got to do. But let God invade those things and bring possibilities and opportunities across your path. As I was praying, the Lord actually gave me a word. And this really is what this message is flowing out of. He said, tell my people to not live with the straitjacket of the mind. You know what a straitjacket is? It actually confines or stops a person moving. And God's saying, tell my people to stop really having that mindset that hinders what I want to do through their lives. A straitjacket that holds down a person, restricts a person. And a mindset that says, this is it, this is church. This is what we do. I come in on a Sunday, I'm part of this team, or I do that, and this is what we do. And then I go home, and that's my bit for the ministry part. And then Monday, well, I've got work or college, or this is what I do in an evening. This is what I do when I rest. You know, it's like take the straight jacket off of the form and break into a flexible lifestyle. Because God wants to move unusually through your life. He wants you to go, ah, I never thought I could do that. But begin with a mind shift, a change of thinking that says, do you know, I have been filled with the fullness of Christ. Therefore, everything is possible. Everything is possible. I was also, when I was praying, the Lord says about this straitjacket. It's a great analogy about having a mindset that's fixed, rigid. And he also said, I've got this cozy fleece jacket, and I'm embarrassed to say this. It's over 15 years old, and I wear it. As soon as I get up in the morning, I put this really bad, old, worn-out fleece on. And I go downstairs, make a cup of tea, go back up to pray. And I have the visual aid. I'm embarrassed to say, the Lord said, I want them to see how scruffy you look in the morning. And Pastor Andrea bought this for my birthday 15 years ago. So this is 15 years old. Today, it's his birthday. And honestly, I've bought 3 other fleeces in the last 15 years, but I haven't liked them. Because the zip's stuck in my, you know, and they just feel a little bit uncomfortable, a little stiff, restricting. This is the nicest worn-out jacket, and nobody's having it. Now, everything about this jacket moves with me. It's just absolutely fantastic. The zip's broken. The sleeves are worn. It's embarrassing to show you. But this is very different to a straitjacket. Because the person inside can do whatever that person wants. And wouldn't you like God to say about you, I love wearing that person. I can do what I want through them. They're so flexible. If I say, go and pray for the sick, they're like, okay, no problem. They're not like, time out, I'm busy. This is not what I do on a Monday. There's no healing of the sick on a Monday. It's Sunday. Come on a Sunday to get healed, not Monday morning. What? At work? You're kidding. It's like, okay, cool. Give 50 quid to that person. Well, I gave in the offering on Sunday. And I'd allocated that for something. I know you did. I want you to give it. No! So he goes to somebody who's wearing the right clothes. I want you to give 50 quid to that person. They really need it. Okay, whatever you say, God. 50 quid. Thanks. That's okay. You'll get more back. Thanks. Look forward to it. A lifestyle that is different. You see, a straitjacket believer, even their prayer life makes the angels cry. They're that bored. Can you imagine all the tears? It's raining again. It's the angels. It's like, same old you. And usually when you just have yourself as the focus of your prayer life, I can guarantee you will eventually get bored. A straitjacket believer, the marriage is set in its ways. We both have our roles and this is what we do. And there's a danger in marriage when there isn't the creativity of the Holy Spirit on, Lord, how can I bless my husband or wife today? Let me do something unusual that is going to make their day. What a prayer. What a move of God we're going to get. A move of love. Not strife. The straitjacket makes a very unhappy marriage. No, I'm the man, I do this. No, I'm the woman, I want this. Nag, nag, nag. Stop it. And allow the Holy Spirit to fill your relationship with a creativity and a willingness to lay down your life so that your partner is better off because they married you. Thank you, Jesus. You see, everybody, I'm fine saying this stuff because the singles know I'm single. But you know, for us, it's really important that we lay down our lives to love others as single people. There's a radical lifestyle of love that we're called to as his people. And that standard is to be flexible. And you know, straitjacket singles, oh my goodness me. No, no, it's all about me. Nobody wants to be my friend. I'll stay here until they come round. And for 20 years, you haven't had anybody around. So what do you do? The Lord says, go and make a meal. Invite that person. Or go and give. Sow friendship and you're going to reap something different. It's a lifestyle of flexibility, and doing what God says always works. A straitjacket believer, the gifts of the Spirit are dormant in your life. You can't remember the last time you prophesied. Speaking in tongues is a thing of the past. And you actually aren't eagerly desiring words of knowledge, gifts of faith, works of healing. There is a kind of staticness in the operation of the gifts. Your ministry has reached its peak in doing the sound. Or whatever you do. But a flexible believer will come in on a Sunday, fulfill their ministry, and then say, what else could I do to bless and love the saints? Thank you, Jesus. There's a movement of life rather than, this is my job. I'll come and do it and then thank God I'm going home. You see, it's my life to do the will of God. It's my life to minister, to serve you. I honestly give you the best I can give. I do lay down my life for you. And it's God called me to this. But I could be a straitjacket pastor. The minimal in here, let's have a quick go. Forget all that praying and hearing God and seeking God before the meeting and prayer for you guys. I could do the minimum. But I want to live my life for the max, for Jesus. And I want us to have an extraordinary church. And I know it won't happen if there's a straitjacket mentality on who you are and what you do. And who I am and what I'm called to do. The straitjacket, actually, believer, witnessed last year once. But hasn't got a fresh testimony about what God is doing in reaching the world through them. Because we're all called, filled with the Holy Spirit, to be a witness. And so that means everyone must have a testimony about what it witnessing has happened this week. And so this cozy fleece is really a mindset that's flexible. That's what God wants to communicate. That you and I will not live in the rigidity of our days and form, but we will allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants through us. And at times it will be unusual. At times it will seem very ordinary in encouraging and loving and serving others. But God wants to change the world around us. And it's not straitjacket believers that will transform the world. It's spirit-filled, flexible, moving with God believers that will actually see a demonstration of His Spirit and power in their world today. Now, we all have some, at some level, some straitjacket. I've got to take this, it's so hot. We all have some kind of straitjacket on our mind. We all have preconceived ideas of what God's going to do and how He's going to do it. But God just says, look, just be like that wineskin. Let me change the form. Move with me. Pray. Seek me. You know, when you're talking to your friends, pray while you're talking and say, Lord, is there anything you want to speak? Give me a word, insight into their situation. Do things for people out of extravagant love. Because actually love is really the door that opens up your life to the gifts of the Spirit. Where people are loving one another, the gifts of the Spirit are always manifest. And so God really wants to change the world through you, by you being flexible. Let's stand together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.